We have an interesting phenomenon happening in the culture this year, just the way the calendar worked out. Two major holidays, for people who like to say happy holidays, two major holidays happening at the same time. And today here on the Bottom Line Show, I'm Roger Marsh, joined for this segment by Rabbi Jonathan Bernis, who is the president and CEO of Jewish Voice Ministries International. He is a huge leader in the Messianic Jewish ministry. He's written a number of helpful books for me personally. I think of A Rabbi Looks at Jesus of Nazareth as a real game changer for me. He's got a brand new book out called A Rabbi Looks at the Supernatural, which is up at thebottomlineshow.com, a revealing look at angels, demons, miracles, heaven, and hell. Rabbi Jonathan Bernis, welcome back to The Bottom Line Show today.
Roger, it's been a long time. It's great to be back with you again.
Interesting scenario that we have here. First of all, I want to talk about the Messianic Jewish look at the supernatural because I think it's going to be very helpful. But also, too, this year, when was the last time that Hanukkah and Christmas Eve happened on this? The start of Hanukkah happened on Christmas Eve?
Gosh, I knew you were going to ask that, and I didn't brush up. It's probably been 4 or 5 years. And the reason is because the Hebrew calendar is based on the lunar calendar and the Gregorian on the solar. So you have about 5-6 days difference every year, and it just shifts. Usually, we are looking at Passover and Easter as shifting back and forth, and how often they intersect, but it's been quite a while. I'm going to go look it up after we're done with the interview.
Just to have that perspective down. But it is kind of unusual because I've gotten accustomed to, I mean, been a Lutheran church for many years, I've grown accustomed to the fact that Hanukkah typically hits around the end of November, first part of December, and then you've got Christmas at the end of the month. So the fact that they do kind of collide, maybe some kind of poetic word from God about maybe the fact that we in the body of Christ need to be paying closer attention to our Jewish heritage as opposed to just saying, oh, that's nice that you light the candles and the menorah, but we're going to celebrate Christmas because that's more important to us. As a Messianic Jew, Jonathan, let's talk about the reasons why it is so important for us to get Hanukkah if we're part of the Church of Christ.
Well, I think it's great that they intersect because they do have a commonality with several different themes. First of all, without Hanukkah, there may never have been a Christmas, and let me explain that. Mm-hmm. In 165 B.C., roughly, actually between 163 and 167 B.C., so we're talking almost 200 years before Jesus was born, between 150 and 200 years before Jesus was born, the area that's known in Israel as Israel today was overrun by the Seleucid Empire, the Greco-Syrian Empire, under a type of Antichrist. He was, in fact, an Antichrist, but a type of the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. His name was Antiochus Epiphanes IV, and he was a brutal dictator who subjugated the Jewish people, offered a pig as a sacrifice on the altar of the Holy of Holies, and desecrated the temple. So the Jewish people were no longer able to worship, established a statue of Zeus, and forced Jewish people, under the threat of death, to worship idols, to worship him, in fact. Mm-hmm. And many, many Jews were put to death, and it was a terrible time in the history of the Jewish people. They were facing complete destruction, and through a sovereign act of God, a ragtag army called the Maccabees were raised up, and using guerrilla warfare, and some historians say this is the first use of guerrilla warfare historically, a world power was defeated by a tiny military without sophisticated weapons or numbers. And this is repeated, by the way, in 1948 with the War of Independence. So this is, again, a type and shadow of the modern state of Israel. But the Jewish people overcame the Seleucid Empire, drove them out, rededicated the temple, and they found oil that was enough to relight the menorah in the lampstand in the temple for one day, but it lasted for eight. Mm. And so we remember Hanukkah for 8 days and light the Hanukkah candles for 8 days, remembering the miracle of the oil. So now you have quite a few different connections.
Yep.
One, no Hanukkah, maybe no Christmas, because God intervened and preserved the Jewish people as he promised to do throughout history, mm-hmm. which is something I talk a lot about, because the only reason that the Jewish people have survived as a people is God's sovereign declaration that he would preserve them. The Israelites have remained, and all of the other ites of history, the Amalekites and the Jebusites, etc., are all gone. And I talk about that in some of my other books. But then you have the miraculous story of the oil, which is the miracle. Hanukkah is a, mm-hmm. is a celebration of miracles. Christmas, whether it's the right day or not, celebrates the miracle of the birth of the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And that's something we can all celebrate. That's just two things that connect them. The third is that Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. It's interesting, Roger, that Hanukkah is not mentioned in the Old Testament because it took place during the time known as the intertestamental period between the Old
right.
Testament and the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. And if he celebrated it, we should celebrate it. He was in the temple, John chapter 10, on the Feast of Dedication, mentions that it's during the winter, and there's actually a great story I can talk about if you want that I think is connected with that whole story in John chapter 10.
Yeah, let's do that. I just want to remind people who are tuning in right now. I'm Roger Marsh. You're listening to The Bottom Line Show. Jonathan Bernis, the president and CEO of Jewish Voice Ministries, is with me today here on the program. We are going to get into a conversation eventually here about his brand-new book called A Rabbi Looks at the Supernatural, A Revealing Look at Angels, Demons, Miracles, Heaven, and Hell, which is up at thebottomlineshow.com. But I wanted to start with Rabbi Bernis in this conversation about the confluence of, well, the coincidence, however you want to look at it, the way the calendars lined up this year. Hanukkah begins on Christmas Eve, and the contention that Rabbi Bernis is making, and I think it's a good one, of saying, hey, look, if you're a Christian, you've got, you know, we have a Jewish heritage. And now the more I think about it, I was in the pulpit last week talking about that silence between Malachi 4:6 and John the Baptist, prepare the way of the Lord. You know, there's a 400-year gap there. Hanukkah really is the only time God spoke to his people. I mean, in a sense right there, and it's kind of that light foreshadowing saying, you know, Messiah is coming, and this miracle here with the Maccabean revolt is kind of that predecessor to that.
Exactly, exactly. It prepares the way of the Lord, as it says in Isaiah 40, makes straight the highway for our God. And so no Hanukkah, possibly no Christmas, but in God's divine plan, he laid out everything in preparation for the Messiah. And I think that Hanukkah is a picture of God's redemption, miraculous, supernatural redemption against all odds. And that's the story of the Messiah, and that's the story of the people of Israel, the people of Israel,
Jewish people. Let's talk about the connection then, John 10.
Okay, so there's a great story in John 10. And the story goes that when they rededicated the temple, they had these holy stones in the Holy of Holies that were holy on the one hand. They saw the glory of God. They were in the very place where the Shekinah was poured out. But they were also defiled by pig's blood, which made them unkosher, unholy. So what do you do with stones that are both holy and desecrated? Well, according to the rabbis, or this rabbinical story, you pile them at the edge of the outer court of the temple in a big heap, and you wait for the Messiah to decide. He's the only one that will know what to do with these desecrated stones. We can't throw them away.
Right.
And it's interesting, Roger, just a side note, Torah scrolls are never thrown away when they become too old to use. They're buried.
Hmm.
They're officially buried because they're the living word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So you have these stones. They're piled up in the edge of the temple. And where's the edge of the temple? Solomon's portico.
Mm-hmm.
That's the edge of the outer court.
Mm-hmm.
Where was Jesus on Hanukkah, on the Feast of Dedication? He was walking along Solomon's portico.
Right.
It's at that place that he was confronted by the Pharisees and asked, we want to know plainly, are you the Messiah? Tell us now. And of course, Jesus, Yeshua, did not. He confronted them. But according to this rabbinic story, that's where the stones were. and it's very possible they were confronting him in front of those stones.
Oh my!
The idea being, if you're the Messiah, tell us now so we can you can tell us what to do with these stones
right.
from Hanukkah.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
They've been here 150 years, so it's very possible. I'm not saying dogmatically that's the backdrop, but it's very possible.
Well, you can certainly make a compelling case for it, and I think we can leave it at that for right now. Jonathan Bernis with me today here on The Bottom Line. I'm Roger Marsh. Jonathan, the president and CEO of Jewish Voice Ministries. We've got a link up for the ministry at thebottomlineshow.com and also for his brand new book, which is called A Rabbi Looks at the Supernatural, a revealing look at angels, demons, miracles, heaven, and hell. The book is up at thebottomlineshow.com. We'll get into that in a little bit in just a moment as The Bottom Line continues. Jonathan Bernis is with me today here on The Bottom Line. I'm Roger Marsh, talking about the fact that Hanukkah this year begins on Christmas Eve, and we've got some great parallels to discuss. We've discussed them in the first segment. We'll do more in later on in our conversation. But I wanted to mention, too, Jonathan is the author of a number of books in the series. If you've seen the covers, they look very familiar, and they all start with the title, A Rabbi Looks At. And they're so very helpful. Rabbi Looks at the End Times. Rabbi Looks at Jesus of Nazareth. The latest book is called A Rabbi Looks at the Supernatural, a revealing look at angels, demons, miracles, heaven, and hell. The book is up at thebottomlineshow.com. What led you, Jonathan, other than your compulsion to serve Christ, obviously, what led you to this aspect of your ministry in terms of giving it your unique perspective on from a Messianic Jewish perspective on the supernatural?
Well, that's a great question, Roger. Thanks for asking. The Rabbi Look series is really my pilgrimage to faith, and through faith in Yeshua as a Jewish believer in Jesus, became a believer at age 20, a Messianic Jew. I don't refer to myself as a Christian simply because that sends a message that I've converted to another religion, mm-hmm. and I don't believe that a Jew who finds their Messiah has left their Jewish heritage.
Mm.
So this is my pilgrimage. It began with the question, who is Jesus? Jesus, for me, growing up, was the God of Christianity. He was them, the other God, son of Mr. and Mrs. Christ. And so I took a fairly deep dive into who is Jesus and what does our own Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament, say about the Messiah, and does Jesus, Yeshua, fulfill those prophecies? And in fact, I believe he did. And I'm just writing to the Christian to help them understand the Jewish roots of their faith,
mm-hmm.
and the Jew to help them understand who Jesus really was and is. And then I wanted to look at the last days because Hal Lindsey's late great Planet Earth impacted me, and I wanted to look at what the Bible says about the end of the age and the return of the Messiah, what Jewish people would look for as the coming of the Messiah.
Okay.
That was A Rabbi Looks at the Last Days. And then I wrote on Heaven and Hell, A Rabbi Looks at the Afterlife, because one of the biggest questions in my life from age 6 when my grandfather died is, what happens after we die?
Yeah, that's a big question.
And then the next logical one was looking at the supernatural realm, starting with creation, and asking, what is the case for evolution? And how strong is the support for creation? It turns out it's very strong, and that's where I start in the book, really, very, very strong. And in fact, what people think today about the doctrine of evolution is not actually accurate. When you go back and look, it's not correct. And then I wanted to look at the question of why bad things happen to good people, which I talk a lot about in the book because this is a huge issue,
mm-hmm.
not only among Jewish people that witnessed 6 million of our people die and asking where was God, but people in general.
Mm-hmm.
If God is real, if he really cares, why does he allow so much evil to take place? Why does bad things happen to so many good people?
Mm-hmm.
And I tackle that a lot in the book, and then I look at angels, the reality of angels and demons, and I go back and talk about heaven and hell and miracles. It's kind of a duality or a dichotomy, evil and good, light and darkness, angels and demons, sickness and healing. Does God heal today?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I wrote the book, and I've probably got 3 or 4 questions left to go that'll eventually materialize as Rabbi Luke's books.
Uh-huh. Well, I like it. It's very helpful for me as a Christian who's not been in the Jewish tradition at all, and yet to see the Jewish nature of my Christian faith, which has been so very, very helpful in my walk with the Lord over the past 5-6 years. I mean, Rabbi Luke's Jesus of Nazareth really was a game changer for me, and so I'm always thrilled to have you on the program.
Thank you. And realizing, too,
that we're in a culture right now, and if you're just tuning in, I'm Roger Marsh. This is The Bottom Line Show. I'm talking with Rabbi Jonathan Bernis, who's the author of a brand new book called A Rabbi Looks at the Supernatural, which is up at thebottomlineshow.com. As you were describing the issue, say, good versus evil, for example, that a lot of people are wrestling with, we've seen an increase here in this culture in the number of people who don't have any sort of religious affiliation anymore. I talk to a lot of people who have had maybe what they consider to be a toxic experience in a Christian church, and the reason is, for lack of a better phrase, because it didn't work for them. You know, I mean, the fact that they prayed for healing, for example, and had questions about, you know, why did my dad get sick? Why did my parents get divorced? Whatever it was. And as they prayed, it didn't seem like God answered the prayer the way they wanted, and so therefore they thought, well, I'm on to option B or whatever. Have you seen that change a lot in the past, maybe in the past decade, in terms of the spirit of the age kind of taking over?
It's everywhere. It's pervasive in America. Francis Schaeffer, the God Who Was There, who wrote The God Who Was There, and many other important books, warned us of a shift in worldview from an absolute worldview, that, meaning that the opposite of good is evil, mm-hmm. and that whole dichotomy of there's truth and there's error, to subjective truth. What's right for you is true. What's right for me is another parallel truth, and don't try to tell me that your truth should be my truth.
Right.
That's a shift from a very different worldview, and it's certainly not a biblical worldview, Roger.
Mm-hmm. It's not. So how do we reincorporate that? I mean, I realize that your mission here, and I love it, is kind of that every man, this is my perspective, this is what I'm seeing based on growing up in a... And I'll tease you about this a little bit, but I remember from your earlier writings, when you received salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, your parents thought you were crazy, right? I mean, they really did.
They sent me to a therapist,
yeah, right.
Who eventually kicked me out, and to the rabbi who called me a Nazi.
So
I went through a hard time.
I'll bet.
Yeah.
But I would imagine that's kind of what a lot of people are facing right now, is that there's compulsion to conform, and we don't even realize it. We think we're being led to, you know, be free thinkers and to, you know, explore and let the spirit lead, but there's really this kind of oppressive spirit in the culture right now that makes it tougher to embrace faith in Christ.
Very, very true. There's an anti-biblical, not only worldview in America today, but this bias against faith, especially against biblical faith.
Yeah.
But the Judeo-Christian worldview is under attack today. It's under attack in our universities. It's under attack even with young people going to church. I think that the evangelical church in America, the church in general, has not done a great job to make Christ relevant. And I think that even people that were raised in good, strong churches have moved away from being labeled evangelicals. There's tremendous peer pressure out there. And we have to go back. Roger, this is going to sound overly simplistic to many that are listening, but we have to go back to the gospel. We have to go back to the power of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the Messiah. For it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. We have to get away from religion, and we have to get back to the gospel and the power of God. We have to help. We have to see lives transformed. And the young people, the millennials, want a cause. If they experience the power of God, if they can be invited into something bigger than themselves that's real, they'll jump on the train.
Rabbi Jonathan Bernis with me today here on The Bottom Line. I'm Roger Marsh. Brand new book is called A Rabbi Looks at the Supernatural, a revealing look at angels, demons, miracles, heaven, and hell. The book is up at thebottomlineshow.com as we continue a question for Jonathan Bernis about this issue of sin and righteousness and why so many people today, even in the church, are kind of operating under the delusion that they really don't need to be forgiven. They don't need to have forgiveness spoken to them from the pulpit or even from the voice of God, because they're doing okay. they're doing all right. And it doesn't help when you have a guy who's taking the Oval Office soon who says, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I never ask for forgiveness because I don't have to worry about it. I mean, is that a prevailing attitude? How do we in the body of Christ take a look at that? Jonathan Burness will answer that question and more in just a moment as The Bottom Line continues. Jonathan Burness with Jewish Voice Ministries with me today here on The Bottom Line. I'm Roger Marsh. Jonathan's brand new book is part of his A Rabbi Looks At series. If you've enjoyed those books in the past, as have I, this new one is a great one. It's called A Rabbi Looks At the Supernatural, a revealing look at angels, demons, miracles, heaven, and hell. The book is up at thebottomlineshow.com. Jonathan, you dedicate a chapter in this to the issue of sin and righteousness, posing the question, do we really need forgiveness for our sins? And it's interesting because there are a lot of people, I'm sure, who say, hey, there are so many different ways you can get to God. You know, it's no big deal. You know, as long as you get to the right place, you know, it doesn't really matter. You address this head on in a rather forthright way, and I want you to talk about why we do.
I do address it head on because, remember again, Roger, I grew up in a Jewish home, did not encounter my Messiah, did not encounter Yeshua. I like to call him by his Hebrew, Jesus by his mm-hmm. Hebrew name, Yeshua. Did not have that encounter till I was 20 years of age. So I had a very liberal view of things. Everybody has a path that leads to God. There's no one that has the right view. I was a very, very liberal kind of left wing. If it's good for you, it's good for you. Mm-hmm. And don't try to impose anything on me. That was my view. My shock was when I read my own scriptures, the Jewish scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, whatever you want to call it, really for the first time. Christians think that Jewish people know the Bible well, and it's mm-hmm. erroneous. We don't. I learned one portion of the Old Testament for my bar mitzvah at age 13, but I had never read my own scriptures.
Oh, wow.
And what I discovered when I went back and read the Torah and the prophets and the writings, the Old Testament, was that there's a very, very clear standard for sin and righteousness that required a sacrificial system, like Leviticus 17:11 just jumps out at me to this day, that the life of the flesh is in the blood, mm-hmm. and I have given it for you to make atonement for your souls. This is the requirement of God. This is the standard of God. And so the whole sacrificial system, the temple, the priesthood, which all has been done away with in Judaism and replaced with good deeds and repentance and prayer, is just simply unbiblical. It's not a biblical Judaism, Roger. And Christianity, outside of the blood atonement of the Messiah, is not true Christianity, and it's not true biblical faith. When you read things like, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me, you have to make a decision. Are you going to turn the Bible into an origami assignment, or are you going to take the whole thing? You can't just choose and select what you want and throw out what you don't. You just can't do that. And so I'm compelled to tell people that this is what the Bible says. I'm not making up anything mm-hmm. new, right. Roger, or anyone listening. I am simply choosing to believe the Bible, and I'm compelled to tell people what it says. And it says that there's no name given under heaven by which we must be saved than the person of Jesus the Messiah. And it's his blood that fulfills the animal sacrificial system and covers our sin, and I believe nothing else. I can't be any clearer, and that's why I was compelled to share that in the book.
Well, and thank you for not holding back, because I know there are people listening to this who are resonating right now. There are fists in the air and hands held high saying, amen, thank you, keep preaching. And others who are saying, wow, I mean, I didn't realize that. I mean, and I mean that sincerely. I encounter people a lot, I'm sure you do too, who really have kind of bought into kind of an American Christianity that says, hey, as long as you live in America and you go to church every now and again, you're in good shape. You know, God's fine with you because God blesses America, as opposed to saying, hey, wait a minute, there are Christians all over the world, and sometimes their life isn't so perfect, you know, going. They're being persecuted for their faith, and maybe this whole sin and righteousness thing is something we need to be taking more seriously and preaching more clearly from the pulpit. So you've done us a great service by preaching that here. Jonathan Burness is the president of Jewish Voice International Ministries. He's written a book called A Rabbi Looks at the Supernatural, a revealing look at angels, demons, miracles, heaven, and hell. The book is up at the Bottom Line Show. KLNJRadio.com. And as we continue, I want to get back into this conversation a little bit about the coincidences, the ironies, the parallels, whatever you want to call them, with regard to the fact that Hanukkah this year begins on Christmas Eve, and why we in the body of Christ are wise to pay attention to both of these events, and actually even might start celebrating Hanukkah at Christian churches too. I'll talk about that with Jonathan Burness from Jewish Voice Ministries in just a moment as The Bottom Line continues. Jonathan Burness is with me today here on The Bottom Line. I'm Roger Marsh. The brand new book is called A Rabbi Looks at the Supernatural, a revealing look at angels, demons, miracles, heaven, and hell. It's a very, very forthright book. It's very clear. It's very clarifying. And especially if you have people in your world who are kind of straddling the fence a little bit, who are kind of under the impression that because they, by association, they've got a faith in Christ as opposed to by actual confession with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believing in our hearts he's raised from the dead. This is a great book for that. Jonathan, during the break, you and I were talking about the fact that it's somewhat unusual, but not unprecedented, for Hanukkah's first night to happen on the same night as Christmas Eve. And the parallels there, as we were talking about earlier, about the fact that the Maccabean revolt really kind of made it possible. It was kind of God showing up with the light of the menorah to say, I'm going to protect the Jews, and you know the line of David's going to be protected so that Jesus can actually be born. So it's not a stretch to say if we didn't have Hanukkah, then we might not have Christmas. I mean, talk about that just briefly, because I think that's an important point to make.
Yeah, and I'll expound on it very quickly. One of the most important scriptures for me personally is Jeremiah 31, where the Lord says, as long as the sun shines by day and the moon and stars by night, I will preserve you as a nation before me, speaking about the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's mm-hmm. critical. And with all the persecutions of the Jewish people, including the story of Hanukkah, God supernaturally and sovereignly preserves the Jewish people. And he did it through the Holocaust, and he did it with the restoration of Israel in 1948 and the Six-Day War in 1967. It's a miraculous intervention of God. And the Christmas is the story of a miraculous intervention of God sending his only begotten Son to completely transform the world.
Mm.
Preserve the world.
And yeah, there you go. I was waiting for the preservation part too, because I mean,
yeah.
therein lies the beauty of this all. The whole God did. I think John 3:17 is more important to me today than John 3:16. In all honesty, you know, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. I mean, there's that rescue and redemption, and so I'm hoping maybe I'll start a trend. I'll be the guy with the rainbow wig at football games, holding up John 3:17 in the end zone, and seeing if
I love it. I'll be looking for you.
Okay,
Roger.
good.
I'll be looking for you.
Appreciate that. Let's talk about some of the other parallels that we have here between Hanukkah and Christmas, because I'm angling toward my church does Passover Seders on a regular basis, you know, to show the fulfillment of Scripture there. I want to talk to you eventually about whether or not what your opinion is on Christian churches holding Hanukkah ceremonies, but let's talk first about some of the other parallels between Christmas and Hanukkah.
Okay, so it's the Feast of Dedication or Rededication, and the theme of rededication of our lives, which, by the way, are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. We replace the temple in our bodies and lives. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and so the idea of dedication is a huge theme, which we can be reminded of at Hanukkah. But it's also, Roger, the Festival of Lights. Why? It's the Festival of Lights because we remember the miracle of the oil, and for 8 days we light something called a Hanukkiah. It's a menorah like the one in the temple, but instead of 7 branches, there's 9. Why 9? Well, because of 8 days and an additional candle that happens to be called the Shamash candle that we use to light the other 8 during the 8 days, one mm-hmm. candle at a time, then 2, then 3 each night. Shamash is servant. It's the servant candle. It lights all the other candles. I think you might be getting the connection
yes.
here.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus declared himself to be the light of the world. This is the Festival of Light, so we're reminded of the light of the world and the command to be lights in his name, to be mm-hmm. a light set on a hill, and to be a servant. Jesus is the servant of all, because he came and died, laying down his life for his friends, for the world, and now he commands us to be servants of all. Mm-hmm. So as we light, it's a great thing to do, to light the Hanukkah candles each night and recount the different texts where Jesus declares himself as the light of the world, declares us as a light of the world, declares himself as the servant of all, and declares that we're to be his servants. It's a fantastic celebration for Christians to remember who Jesus is and who we are in him.
Mm-hmm. Celebrating the Festival of Lights with the light of the world. I mean, it just makes,
yes,
it makes perfect sense, and you can see the connection right there. Once again, what are some others?
Well, again, I just want to go back to this idea of the Shamish camp, the
okay.
Shamish. That is so amazing to me when I made that connection, that the Shamish is lit first and then is responsible for bringing a light to all the others. That is incredible, the symbolism. And there's plenty of scriptures to get us through those eight nights. The last thing, Roger, is the oil, the miracle
mm-hmm.
of
yes.
the oil. The oil is expanded. What is the oil symbolic of? It's symbolic of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs to be an important part of our life. The reason I wrote A Rabbi Looks at the Supernatural was because I'm intrigued by the Holy Spirit, the third part of the triune nature of God, which I think is often underlooked or overlooked. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be an active part of our life. He lives inside of us. The oil of God lives inside of us, and we are supposed to expand that oil, just as the story of Hanukkah reminds us of, out to a dying and needy world.
Mm.
That is a huge theme of Hanukkah, the miracle of the oil, the miracle of the power of God, the Holy Spirit, living inside us for a reason, Roger,
mm-hmm.
not just to be happy and content, but to be a light to the world, to spread the good news to the world, to be a miracle in the lives of people around us.
Jonathan Burness with Jewish Voice International Ministries is with me today here on The Bottom Line. I'm Roger Marsh. His brand new book is called A Rabbi Looks at the Supernatural, a revealing look at angels, demons, miracles, heaven, and hell. The book is up at thebottomlineshow.com. Okay, Jonathan, this is the $64,000 question. You and I have spoken in the past about the fact that there are Christian churches that will bring in messianic pastors who can run a Passover Seder right around, you know, Passover time, and show that Jesus is the Passover Lamb and the fulfillment of all those scriptures too. So I'm beginning to think Christmas is such a busy time for a lot of churches, and yet this Feast of Lights, if you will, I mean, sounds like it would be a natural for a Christian church to also say, we are also going to hold Hanukkah ceremony services as well, too. I'm sure you're in favor of that. How would a church begin? Maybe not at this late date for this year, but maybe for next year. What would a church, an evangelical church, need to do this properly and to really show the connections?
Oh, gosh, this one is so easy, so very easy. Get a Hanukkiah, Hanukkah menorah. Explain what it means. Learn and explain what it means, the nine-branched candelabra,
mm-hmm.
and tell the story of Hanukkah. I'm so glad they're falling on the same time this year, because Hanukkah has been overlooked, and it connects so beautifully with Christmas. Light the Hanukkiah, tell the story, eat fried foods like donuts. You can make potato latkes, and just remember the oil. Talk about the oil. So you have, again, the theme of servanthood, the theme of being a light, and the theme of the oil, the Holy Spirit, and the power of God. And then finally, the miracle of the birth of Messiah, the miracle of Hanukkah, the miracle of God preserving and redeeming us. It's all in the story of Hanukkah, and every Christian should be observing it either as a church together or at home or both.
Well, you had me at there's a biblical case for donuts. So, I mean, this would be a real easy one to start with.
Yeah, good tradition, huh?
Yeah.
It's easy.
I like it. Well, thank
it's easy
you.
And it's fun.
Well, but I like the fact that the oil and the bacon, I mean, that's where it really is coming from. It's not necessarily, you know, something biblical about. Of course, my pastor would say, yeah, but there's holes in the middle, so they're, never mind. I was going to come up with a really bad, corny pun at this point about donuts being holy food, but, you know. you know, it's
bagels.
Bagels. So. There you go. Right. That's the better version of donuts than that. Right. Jonathan Bernis, it's always great to catch up with you. Last 60 seconds here. Let's talk about, just briefly about this whole book again. The rabbi looking at a supernatural and supernatural events like angels, demons, miracles, heaven and hell. Why is this so important for us to understand from a Jewish perspective as well as from a Christian perspective? I think a lot of evangelical Christians are like, sure, you know, miracles, stuff like that. I'm good with that. But when we kind of embrace our Jewish roots, then you're kind of like, wait, are they really miracles? I mean, talk about that briefly.
Sure. I think that in America and in the West, we have a paradigm that causes us to miss the huge supernatural dimension throughout Scripture, really beginning in Genesis with God saying, let there be, all the way through to Revelation, the return of the Messiah, and the whole story in between. The unseen world, Roger, is more real than the seen world, and we can't take that for granted. We need to see the Scriptures through the correct lenses, and then we need to do what they did back in the first century that brought such amazing growth and revolution. They transformed the world. It was because of their worldview. We have to change our worldview. We have to understand the unseen world, and we have to operate in the reality of healing, of miracles, of angelic support. All that stuff is real, and when you see it, it makes the whole Bible come alive, and you can be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Mm. That's why the book is so important.
Well, the book is up at thebottomlineshow.com, and I highly recommend it. Jonathan Bernis, A Rabbi Looks at the Supernatural, a revealing look at angels, demons, miracles, heaven, and hell. And not only recommending the book, too, but I also encourage you to, if you are just tuning in now, go back and hear the entire podcast version of this conversation here and share it with your friends, too. Share it with your pastor or pastors or pastoral staff and get excited about the fact that this year in particular, not only do we have an opportunity here with Hanukkah and Christmas Eve happening on the same day, but also there's an opportunity for us to even begin this celebration even this year. It doesn't take a lot of preparation, but as Rabbi Bernis has given us some food for thought, if nothing more, just remember donuts. It's okay. Donuts. It's okay. That'll get somebody going at your church to say, really, we can have donuts? Okay. And if that's the hook that gets them to start thinking in terms of our Jewish nature, I think that's a good one. Rabbi Jonathan Bernis, Jewish Voice International Ministries, thank you so much for the work that you have done to help so many people, and thanks for being with me today here on The Bottom Line.
Roger, thank you, and it's great being back with you again.